Delicacy, meal A for two people with extra prawn cracker?
Never heard of it.
Then could I see a painful ear, a croak of frog, a menu?
What's a menu, friend?
Rincewind nodded. He knew what it meant when a stranger called you friend like that. No one who called someone else friend was feeling very kindly disposed. What is there to eat, I meant.
Noodles, boiled cabbage, and pork whiskers.
Is that all?
Pork whiskers don't grow on trees, San.
I've been seeing water buffalo all day, Rincewind said. Don't you people ever eat beef? The ladle splashed into the cauldron. Somewhere behind him a shibo tile dropped onto the floor. The back of Rincewind's head prickled under the stairs.
We don't serve rebels in this place, said the landlord loudly.
Probably too meaty, Rincewind thought. But it seemed to him that the words had been addressed to the world in general rather than to him. Glad to hear it, he said, because...
Yes, indeed, said the landlord a little louder. No rebels welcome here.
Well, that's fine by me, because
if I knew of any rebels, I would be certain to alert the authorities,
the landlord bellowed. I'm not a rebel, I'm just hungry, said Rincewind. I'd, like a bowlful, please. A bowl was filled. Rainbow patterns shimmered on its oily surface.
That'll be half a rhino, said the landlord.
You mean you want me to pay before I eat it? Said Rincewind.
You might not want to afterwards, friend.
A rhino was more gold than Rincewind had ever owned. He patted his pockets theatrically. In fact, it seems that, he began. There was a small thump beside him. What I did on my holidays had fallen onto the floor.
Yes, thank you, that will do nicely, said the landlord to the room at large.
He pushed the bowl into Rincewind's hand, and in one movement scooped up the booklet and crammed it back into the wizard's pocket.
Go and sit down in the corner, he hissed, and you'll be told what to do.
But I'm sure I know what to do. Dip spoon in bowl, raise spoon to mouth.
Sit down.
Rincewind found the darkest corner and sat down. People were still watching him. To avoid the group gaze, he pulled out What I Did and opened it at random in an effort to find out why it had a magical effect on the landlord. Sold me a bun containing what was called a complicated pictogram made entirely of the inside of pigs, urinating dog, he read. And such as these could be bought for small coin at any time, and so replete were the citizens that hardly any bought these complicated pictogram from the stall of complicated pictogram, but it seemed to involve a razor, San. Sausages filled with pig parts, thought Rincewind. Well, perhaps they might be amazing if up until then a bowl of dishwater with something congealing on the top of it had been your idea of a hearty meal. Huh. Mr. What I Did on My Holidays should try coming to Ankh Morpork next time and see how much he liked one of old Dibbler's sausages, full of genuine pig product. The spoon splashed into the bowl. Rincewind turned the pages hurriedly. Peaceful streets along which I walked were quite free of crime and brigandage. Of course they were, you four-eyed little git, shouted Rincewind. That was because it was all happening to me. A city where all men are free. Free? Free? Well, yes, free to starve, get robbed by the Thieves' Guild, said Rincewind to the book. He fumbled through to another page. My companion was the Great Wizard. Complicated pictogram, but now that Rincewind studied it, he realized with a plummeting heart it had a few lines that looked like the Agatean for wind. The most prominent and powerful wizard in the entire country.
I never said that.
Rincewind stopped. Memory treacherously dredged up a few phrases such as, Oh, the Arch-Chancellor listens to everything I say, and that place would just fall down without me around. But that was just the sort of thing you said after a few beers. Surely no one would be so gullible as to write. A picture focused itself in Rincewind's memory. It was of a happy, smiling little man with huge spectacles and a trusting, innocent approach to life, which brought terror and destruction everywhere he wandered. Twoflower had been quite unable to believe that the world was a bad place, and that was largely because to him it wasn't.